Okay, we're going to switch now to the European Union. Dr. Rob Congdon is the man who covers all of Europe, the continent, and in addition, the European Union, to tell us what really is developing almost on a daily basis as we look at this becoming the infrastructure for a prophetic scenario called for in the book of Daniel, the revived Roman Empire. And I'm going to talk to you, Rob, about some of the issues in Europe. But before we get off of our focus on the Middle East, let's talk about how the European Union has been pushing the Arab plan for taking down the regime there in Syria. Bashar Assad, everybody is saying, has to come out of his leadership role in Syria. The opposition parties, the peoples that are trying to overthrow the government in Syria, working hand in hand with others who are coming and joining with them. Now it looks like the European Union is on board as well. What do you know about this?
Well, they are. They're very much involved. They've basically called for the government to be changed within 2 months' time and have democratic elections. It fits very much the pattern of the EU. What I think is most significant is the fact that EU is now getting involved in internal affairs. We can talk about the injustice and about the cruelty and all that's going on in a country, but now they're stepping in saying, no, change the government. And so it reflects the EU mentality that, given the right conditions, they should tell countries what to do internally. So it's a significant move by the EU. If they continue, that just reflects their, what I think is their long-term empire thinking.
You know, this seems similar to a scenario that unfolded there with Libya, Rob, and ultimately NATO got involved. Do you see any chance that possibly NATO may send troops and even do some air attacks there on Syria?
Well, you're right. It's a pattern the EU has followed. They need NATO. Remember that the EU does not have its own military. Individual countries have their own military that serve through NATO. And so if they get to the point where they feel there's military action needed, they would have to use NATO. So the pressures are growing in many ways. The EU increasingly is seeing the need for their own military. And as I've said many times, I think ultimately they'll just absorb NATO. But that's right. That's the only way they can enforce anything beyond perhaps sanctions.
And just this caveat, Bashar Assad made the statement if NATO did get involved with the situation in Syria, he would move some of his troops into the Golan Heights and possibly even attack Tel Aviv from that particular location. A very interesting development taking place not only in the Middle East but in Europe as well. Okay, let's get to the crisis, the economic crisis there in Europe. Greece seemingly is seeking a bailout before, and they use the word catastrophe. What does that mean?
Well, the Greek people have reached their limit, apparently, on how much they will face austerity. Greece needs the money desperately, and they said that by this week they have to have it done or it'll collapse. Many people in Europe have been waiting for this to happen and say, let it collapse and deal with it from there. Always remember that while to us Greece is a significant country, and in many ways it is in the world, it is a very small country in terms of the economics of Europe and in the overall picture of Europe. So were it to fail, were it to default on its debts, Europe could carry on. So Greece is trying to force them to take action, and the EU is getting more reluctant about pouring more money into a country that just isn't correcting its problems.
And, Rob, at the same time, there are reports coming from the Eurozone that employment has hit an all-time record low. This is going to affect this crisis as well, won't it?
Oh, absolutely. It's just a growing problem. The outlook for Europe, and as recently stated by some of ours here in the country, is not good. The potential for recession, as they're calling it, or worse, is growing by the day, and the EU itself, the governing officials, are recognizing it and trying to set in motion wheels, but the EU is a very massive organization that has a high inertia. So solutions come very slow while the problems come very quickly. And with unemployment growing, action is going to have to be taken very quickly.
You know, I'm sure people eavesdropping on this conversation may not quite understand if this is a program focused on Bible prophecy. Why are we talking about the economic crisis in Europe? Well, Bob McGinnis just earlier talked about the situation worldwide geopolitically. But in that mix, you have to understand that the financial situation across this world does play a key role in the governance by these leaders, these world leaders of the peoples of the world. And when you come to the Bible, there's so much economically in the Word of God. That is, would you not say, Rob, a very important factor in what's going to happen in the end times economically?
Oh, absolutely. The more I have studied, if you want to call it economic prophecy in the Bible, you see how significant it is, particularly when you get in the book of Revelation and you realize that whatever the final form of the Roman Empire is going to be, one of their main powers is economics. And since the EU is so involved in economics today, the new treaty that was basically voted on this last week is totally giving more power to the key elements in the EU, and it's all tied into financial. And so when those things come together, we need to keep looking at the scriptures and see how they compare.
Now, you said that this new financial treaty was voted on this week. I guess you are talking about the summit, the EU summit took place, which the Euro crisis was probably at the top of the agenda for their discussions.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, at the Brussels summit, 25 of the 27 member states agreed to join this fiscal treaty. Now, it isn't official until everybody's behind it, but 25 of the countries said, let's move, and what the treaty will do is increase the power of the single commission's power to control things and to give the Court of Justice legal jurisdiction over countries such as Greece to actually step in and either penalize them or control their budgets. So it's a big step. There are two people holding back. That's the United Kingdom and the Czech Republic. But the EU has never allowed a single country to slow them down. So it's showing a growing centralized power in Europe of the EU Commission.
You think these other two are going to come on board quickly?
Well, Prime Minister Cameron has already started waffling, and the Czech people, the leaders are really kind of playing internal politics at the moment. They have come along in the past. They reluctantly come along, they mumble, they complain, and they are anti-EU, but in the end, they succumb because, the economic pressures get great on individual countries in the EU if they don't agree to the Commission's directions.
Rob, aren't we then talking about only a strengthening of the European Union, which, of course, fits right into the prophetic scenario for God's Word, a strong political, governmental, economic group right there in Europe that will play a key role in the end times?
Oh, absolutely. Remember just a few months ago, everybody said the Eurozone was done, EU was collapsing and disintegrating, and yet we see that regardless of the people of the countries, the EU, its power is growing and moving more in the direction that we would expect it to go if it in reality is that embryo of the final empire.
The final empire. They're already calling themselves an empire, so that looks like we're in those stages leading up to that final revived Roman Empire that will come to place according to Bible prophecy. Dr. Rob Congdon, he focuses on the European Union for us. It's so key. There's certain places in this world, the Middle East, Europe, and what's going on in China and Russia, and all of these places that are mentioned in Bible prophecy. We see, stay on top of all of these locations and the events unfolding there, because they'll help play into the end-time final scenario that's found in God's Word. Rob, thank you so very much, my good friend. By the way, I hear it's your anniversary this week.
Yes, it is. We're enjoying very much celebrating our anniversary.
How many years?
44.
Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary, dear Rob. 44. Hey, man, I got 52. You're going to come along and catch up with me.
Well, that's great.
Yeah, praise the Lord. Hey, God bless you, Rob, and thank you. We'll talk to you again next week.
Lord bless you, too. Bye, Jimmy.